Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Deer Talk Now podcast. We are here with Aaron Blasey.
Yep. I said that again? Yes, you did.
Correct?
Sure.
All right. Aaron is with Latitude Outdoors, and basically we're going to dive right into to saddle hunting and how to get started in saddle hunting. You've been doing it for more than a decade, you said. So.
Yeah, you know, thanks for having me first, Chris.
Oh,
I appreciate
absolutely.
It. You know,
yeah.
I actually first started saddle hunting back in 2010, and I did it for two solid years. It was, you know, back then before it was even cool to do it, you know.
Right.
And honestly, I think around that time, even to my knowledge, you know, a trophy line was like the only skin in the game, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got my first saddle, and I was just like a fish out of water. What'd I do? There was no YouTube. There was no digital.
Right.
There was no nothing to learn how to do it other than, you know, if you knew about forums. You know what I mean? And
yep.
I really didn't know at that time.
Yep.
So. It was just kind of one of those things. My girlfriend at the time, my wife now, her and I both got them, and she liked it a lot because she was afraid of heights, and she liked the saddle hunting because the tree was in front of her, and
oh,
she could
okay.
feel, so it gave her an extra security on that. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I struggled out of it a little bit. I don't think I practiced enough in it, but boy, the advancements from then to now has just been astronomical.
Oh,
you know what I
sure.
mean? And it's just like the fastest growing thing out there. You know, that and probably, you know, box blinds. You know, you
yeah.
see a ton of box blinds out there, but saddles has just been an ever-growing thing, and it's really cool to be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been a mobile hunter, too, since I was, like, 14, 15 years
yeah.
old. But, you know, I started with heavy climbers and then got into some hang-on stuff, and now just dipping my toes in the water,
yeah.
too, of the saddle scene. And it really is. It's kind of like the hot rod industry
of, sure.
of deer hunting because they're so customizable. There's so many options. There's so many cool things you can do with it. And it really, it's almost like archery too. It's like everyone's preference is just a little bit different, but it all can work.
For sure. Yeah. It's been really cool. And you know, I've been working with Latitude Outdoors for a year now. And actually I've been working for a couple years, but full time for a year.
Okay.
And, you know, their saddle, and I've got one here, one of our saddles, it's a Method 2. This is the XL version, but it's a two panel. And like I said about the advancements, you know, before that one I used before, it was just heavy,
mm-hmm.
a lot of metal on it, bulky. But, you know, and at the time, that was the only thing in the game. So it was like, this is what you had to deal with. But now, man, they've come so far. I mean, it's ridiculous how sleek and minimalist. And like you brought up the mobile hunting thing. Since I've become basically a mobile hunter 100% of the time,
mm-hmm.
my success in the fun for me has like kind of, it's rejuvenated me.
Yeah.
Not that I was losing it, but it was like, man, this is cool again. You know
oh,
what I
yeah.
mean? So that was really neat.
Yeah. There's kind of a sense of adventure
for sure.
And newness to it every time you go out there. Cause it's like, oh, I think I could get up in that tree or
yeah.
like what, how could I make this work where, you know, nothing else might work. You
100%.
Know?
Yeah.
yeah.
Yep.
So, speaking of the saddle, why don't you kind of dive into showing us how anybody out there could get started and what to
yeah.
look for, how to make it fit comfortable.
Yeah, so if you're getting started in saddle hunting and you've never done it before, I mean there's so much content out there first and foremost to be able to see what you want, but I recommend just going and putting them all on, you know,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what fits you the best. Personally, when I was doing it, so Latitude, we have this Method 2, so it's a two panel.
Okay,
so you see that there's two panels here. It adds for a lot more support, you
okay.
know, and comfortability. So we have a patent on our magnet system here. So these two panels hold together with magnets.
Oh,
so you just
I see.
Pop them back and forth. You know, we have the pouches, the dump pouches, everything you can get. But, you know, it comes with leg straps you can remove. I don't have those here. We just kind of grabbed one real quick and
sure.
just came over here. But, you know, there's so many adjustments on this thing. So here's your bridge loops. So this is an Amsteel bridge. So that's the other thing. If you're getting started, definitely figure out the lingo, what everybody says, you know, the
right.
bridge. So basically, you know, in layman's terms, the bridge is what holds you to the tree,
right.
you know, so that's what's going to be, you know, holding you.
Mm-hmm.
So these bridge loops and everything, you can adjust these up or down wherever you want, micro adjust them. And every little adjustment that you make will give you a different fit and feel.
Okay.
So if you want more pressure on your back, you move them up. If you want more pressure on like maybe your butt or your legs, you move them down. If you just find out that you like it right in the middle, then leave it in the middle.
Okay.
I'm more in the middle kind of guy, but we have guys that really like to stand up. You know, they have standers and leaners or mm-hmm. sitters, whatever you want to call them. you know, where you use your knees against the tree. It just all depends on where you like it and where you wanna sit.
Okay.
So
one question, I guess, from my brief experience so far is, you know, wearing a chest harness with your bino harness and your range finder, and I've got the bridge up and I've tried to adjust with the tether, but it's like, okay, if a deer's coming here, I want to rotate. That's catching a lot.
Gets
on
in the way a little
bridge.
Bit. Yeah.
How would you suggest maybe adjusting height and
great question, because I just went through this, you know, last year. So I got to the point where every time I would get up in my platform and I'd stand up, I would always put my tether around the tree about mouth to nose height, somewhere in there. And then same thing, the bridge would always be kind of like catching my bino harness. So I'm like, well, how do I combat that a little bit and still be comfortable?
Right.
So what I did is I took my tether and I moved it down. I moved it down to almost belly button, waist height.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
And, but I'm a stander. I never put my knees against the tree really. I am basically, you know, like a V shape with the tree and then me. I'm, you know, at a certain angle.
Okay.
So basically I move that tether down and then I take my panels. I actually keep them together like this. I don't separate them all the time.
Okay.
But then I'll put it lower on my butt, almost like I'm at the park in a swing and just kind of like leaning there. You know what I mean? And it would blow your mind on how much room you have from your bridge to your bino harness, and nothing's obstructed. And last year in Kansas, I did two consecutive days, all day sits like that.
Oh, wow.
Never got down, nothing. My legs didn't get tired.
Okay.
I do have a bad ankle, and so that did get a little bit tired, but that's just from an old injury, you know.
Okay.
And but other than that, man, you can sit there all day, and it's so comfortable.
Okay, and even without knee pads or a knee, you know, kneeling against
the
tree?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, I used knee pads a lot, exclusively.
Okay.
You know, I was, like I said, I had my tether height a lot higher, and it was sucking me towards the tree, and it almost felt like it was natural to do that, and I felt like I needed the knee pads. So I ran knee pads, which were great, and we have a good set of knee pads that are very comfortable. But then this year, I'm like, well, how can I, you know, play with this a little bit more? And then I was diving into different settings. I'd go into a sit, and I'd move my loops here a little bit, bridge loops, and I would just try different settings and see what felt the best. And then I had a buddy of mine say, well, where do you put your tether at? And he's like, well, drop it down a little bit lower. And it took me a couple sits to be, he's like, no, you got to go lower. And then he's like, put those panels together, move it down. I'm like, wow, you just opened up a whole new world for me. And that was extremely comfortable.
Okay, interesting. Yep. And it is really like unlimited customizing and how it fits, how it works, how you can move. Yeah.
That's the name of the game with mobile hunting. I feel like the mobile hunting's become this term, and you know, it's really got to the point where, you know, you and I might hunt the same, but we load our pack differently.
Yeah.
You might want a pouch on the left side of your saddle. I might want one on the right. I might run two.
Right.
You know, how you put your sticks on your pack or might be different than me. That's the cool thing to me about the mobile hunting, is like, it is very centered to every one individual. However you want to do it and you find it efficient, that's what's, there's no wrong answer. It's just, that works for you, it works for you.
Right, and that's like the community too, YouTube and social media.
Sure.
And even there's still some forums out there that guys talk about it, and it's like, that's how I've learned a lot. Like, wow, I could try that, or, you know, maybe that might not work. That, I guess, leads me to another thing, and this was a big question in my mind, and I know people I've talked to, especially bigger guys, it's like, God, that's gonna cut off my circulation, especially when it's cold. I'm not gonna feel my legs, you know. I'm gonna have to move around. How would you answer that, and how would you kind of adjust for that in your experience?
So I'm not, you know, I this year moving my tether down and almost like keep staying in a standing position in a way, and just being able to take my weight off my feet a lot more with just moving my saddle down a little bit. That helped this year. I actually had, you know, in Michigan here, where I live in Michigan, I had a pretty good deer make it through our gun season. I'm like, well, I'm going to get back out and bow hunt and see if I can find him. Well, boy, it got cold, and I was wearing bibs, and I'm like, look like the Michelin man up there, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a new thing. Like the out of state or the late season stuff was kind of new for me this year. I haven't done it in a few years just because one thing or another, family things, or maybe I got tagged out.
Right.
And it was like, so this year I'm like, well, I'm going to try this out. So moving that tether down and moving my saddle down, and it almost just created a hammock where I just had to just kind of lean back into it. There was no circulation, no hip pinch at all, cut off, nothing like that. Moving that tether down really helped a lot. Now, I did start moving it up a little bit just to play with it.
Sure.
I would separate the panels, and still, I was just finding comfort wherever I had it. You know what I mean? And I didn't have any issues with, any uncomfortable situations, I guess. I will say bibs are a big, like, for me, hunting with bibs in a saddle is, like, a big plus. Like, pants, you know, sometimes, like, you always tuck a shirt in or something like that. But if you roll bibs, put your shirt and maybe even, like, a vest tucked in, and I just run the top of the bibs with the straps, like, you can see that on film, or, you know, if you look at me, I just have the straps out here.
Okay.
I usually don't run a coat over. I'm just a vest guy with a merino, you know, shirt on.
Okay.
And I just bear with the cold, I guess.
Oh,
but
okay.
Having that bib down there so nothing rides up and nothing gets bound up is a big key.
Okay,
so.
That's a good point. I had that a couple times as it got late into October, early November. It wasn't super cold in Wisconsin, but enough.
Yeah.
Especially towards dark where it's like, and it's like you get it when you're working in the house or, you know, you're bending over doing stuff. Before you know it, your pants are kind of pulling down, your shirt's right on. I'm like, ooh, I got a little chill back there.
A little chill.
But bibs would be the key for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, bibs was a big thing. And I never really found any discomforts in that. Honestly, it wasn't anything much different about. I did find out I was finding more comfort. I run a short bridge.
Okay.
Normally when I'm hunting, but like in the late season for a little bit more room, if you got bibs or more layers on, I would extend my bridge out a little bit more, and it seemed like it'd give me a little bit more room.
Okay.
Yep.
That's another good point. That's another adjustability. Is that
how
bridge length? I mean, you talked about the tether and the height. How could bridge length, whether you have your tether up high or down low, what can that add or subtract from comfort?
So bridge length, definitely for me anyway, and I'm speaking for myself here, the longer the bridge you have and the higher your tether is, the more it's going to bring you into the tree, the more it's going to suck you into it. And it just depends on how far you want to be to the tree or how close or how far away you want to be.
Okay.
I typically like a shorter tether coming off the tree, you know, and then I will take a longer bridge. And the reason being, it's just a head game for me. I think it's easier for me to take my pressure off here and just move this a little bit and then sit back down. If you use a mechanical ascender or anything like a Kong duck or a Ropeman one where you can have one hand on your tether, that is nice as well. It's just one hand, pop it up, and then you're good to go. So I like to have more length, because, and the other thing is too, in an instance where, you know, a deer might be coming in and you might be too high in the saddle and you need to be down a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you have your bow in your hand, if you have a mechanical ascender, you can one hand adjust and then you have more movement down.
Yeah.
And if you need to go up, you're already up. So that's where if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to move down than up.
Explain for the viewers, like I purchased a couple of the ascenders just because they're easy, but just give a quick explanation. Maybe people might not understand what that is off
their head. So they're just, you know, I'm not very technical with it either, but I have a Ropeman one that I put on my lineman's rope, and it's a mechanical ascender. What helps you, it's one hand operation. So when you're climbing up, hanging your sticks, you want to have a lineman's rope around the tree.
Right.
So when that rope comes around, you clip in and your hand's free. If you're too far away from the tree, you don't have to like hold onto the tree, kind of like get it with your hand, with both hands.
Yeah, and the Prusik knot. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I eliminate the Prusik knot, and then I take that, you know, the tag end, and I just pull up, and it brings you into the tree. And when you let go, that ascender is designed to stop, and you will stop. You won't fall.
Yeah.
Now, when you're trying to get slack, then there's this little, you know, a little wire on the Ropeman one that you pull the gear or the claw, basically, whatever you want to call it, away, and then it'll let you come. Then when you let go, it'll stop you know.
Okay.
So I run the Ropeman one on that, but then on my tether, I run a Kong duck.
Okay.
And then same concept, basically.
They're almost like a locking pulley in a way.
100%. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Yep.
Okay. Nice.
Yep.
As far as the bridge and hip pinch, what longer, shorter, what would you
like a longer bridge would be less hip pinch.
Okay.
And a shorter bridge and a shorter tether would be more hip pinch, because you're essentially taking the angles, and as you get shorter, I feel like it's tightening you up a little bit. So a longer bridge, it just, you got to play with it. I think I'm more of a longer bridge.
Okay.
I usually have about that much tag end hanging out. So my bridge is usually about like that.
Okay.
Yep.
And now when you're putting your saddle on and getting ready, your belt buckle and your leg buckles, do you like the belt buckle tight or do you keep them kind of loose? Or?
So we, on ours, I think I said it in the beginning there, but we have removable leg straps. It goes right here and then on the inside right here. So if you want leg straps, I remove them. I don't like the leg straps. Yeah, I don't use them. That's all just about the feel. I just don't like the feeling of them, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So leg straps, I remove them. And then, you know, as far as, I guess, what was your second half of the question?
Just the main buckle.
The main buckle. Yeah. So this rope right here, our saddles are all metal free. So you have no metal on them at all.
Okay.
So this belt here, it's got.
That is your belt.
Yep. This is your belt right here. So it's got a red end and a black end. So to tighten, you pull the red end.
Okay.
Okay. And then when you want to loosen, you pull the black end.
Okay.
And then there's no metal or nothing else. So when you clang it around, there's nothing there.
That's
our thing with Latitude, is we don't want anything clanging around. We don't, literally, if you use our whole system, the only thing that's metal on it is the carabiner on your tether.
Okay.
Is the only thing.
And are the leg straps that same kind of system with ropes?
Yep. So it's kind of like the nylon fabric.
Okay.
A lot like this right here, and it does have a metal G hook clip for this right here.
Okay.
But that's what I should say. So the only metal is the G hooks here and here, and then would be your carabiner.
Oh, but there's no actual buckles though. It's just a hook.
Just a hook.
Here. And
yeah, with a safety clasp on it. So it's a G hook that goes in, and the clasp goes like this, and then it will not come apart.
And the adjustment is just like in a slider.
Yep, it's a slider. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's different than the saddle that I've used, and I can obviously see the advantages of that. That's
interesting. Yep. So, and some guys do want a buckle. We are coming out with a saddle that has, you can upgrade to a buckle. It'll come with the belt, but if you do want the, basically your safety belt buckle like on a car, you can put a buckle on there, but I really like this because it's light.
Yeah.
There's no clanging around and it's easy to use. Literally, it's a Prusik knot. So basically when you walk in, you just get this thing tight and that's how you walk in.
Okay.
When I get up in the tree and I get clipped in with my bridge here, then I'll take this and I'll loosen it just ever so slightly.
Okay.
So then it's not like I'm not married to it.
Okay.
And then we have a couple pull tabs here at the bottom on both sides. You just put your thumbs in them and you pop the magnets here off and then you're in it.
Okay.
This will be more of your back support and this is your butt right here.
Okay.
Deer Talk Now is brought to you by, with more than 70 years of experience in the animal health and nutrition industries, Analogics Outdoors brings its unique expertise to the science of deer feed and attractants. For more information, visit analogics.com.
Yep. Now we might get some questions on it, and you mentioned it, so I want to ask you, what would you say to anybody? Do you worry about the safety of not having leg straps in your saddle?
I would say if you're getting started off, I would say definitely try them and use them.
Okay.
I would definitely say, if you can use them and maybe graduate into that. If you want to take them off, graduate into that point where you can take them off. But I would definitely use them. I used them, that first saddle I told you about way back in the day.
Yep.
Those were not removable. You had to have them on. So I used, for a full season, I used them. And then I ended up cutting them off the second year because I just didn't like the feel of it. And I never got to the point where I felt like I was going to fall through it.
Right.
And then our belt here, I will keep, like I said, I only loosen it a little bit.
Okay.
So if in fact you do decide to fall or,
somehow, you slip.
This is going to, your arms are going to catch over top of it here and
true,
you're not going to fall through it.
True.
So,
and as long as your tension is always on the seat, basically, it's not like you're just gonna slip out of it.
100%. You'd have to be like a pencil, like a torpedo
you'd
going
have to
through
try
there.
To
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen some studies too where guys have actually kind of like hopped out of their stand, because I know I've had questions about this from some of my buddies that haven't tried it yet. It's like, well, you're going to top over backwards. And it's like, unless that tether is down by your knees,
for sure, right,
it's almost impossible for you to go over backwards, yeah, and slide out.
And typically, you know, if you were, you thought you were going to go backwards, typically when you do that, your legs will, like, you're going to do like a spread eagle kind of thing.
Yeah, you'll
you
hit
know?
The tree and
exactly.
It'll stop you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All good. Any other kind of tips for comfort or any other customizations that you've learned or done?
No, I would say a couple of things. Like, we do have some loops up top here. So we do have straps that they connect the bottom and the top panel. So you can adjust. So the panel, if you would like a panel to be the certain distance,
okay,
when you separate them, they won't like fall apart.
Okay.
You can get them to stop here. So that's all about that fit and finish and that customability.
Okay.
So we do have straps that you can put on here as well. The other thing is, the top layer of our saddle is all Molly. So there's a big Molly strap here. And you can put, I run two pouches. I have a bigger pouch that we on the left. And on the right side, I run a small pouch. And literally that right side pouch is for my gear strap and my bow hanger.
Okay.
And that's the only reason why I have that pouch on there, because I'm very much a minimalist. I take a small pack. And when I go up the tree, I only want to go up once.
Right.
And the only way I'm coming down is if it's a late season hunt and I'm hanging stuff in my base layers and I come back down for my last, I'm going to put the camo on, then go up.
Yeah.
But I like to go up one shot, basically. And so I'll run two pouches. So I'll put a pouch on both sides. But you can customize those however you want. If you want them, you know, closer to the back or closer to the front. And, you know, there's a lot of third-party companies out there that do the 3D printed things.
Oh yeah,
you know, with the stick holders, whatever, they work with all these mollies.
Okay.
So there's a lot of customability. Comfort, it's literally, the comfort is there, you just have to find the sweet spot that fits for you. You
okay.
know, all body types are different.
Yeah.
I think this saddle right here has the most customability in the on the market. I really do, with the panels and the way the bridge loops can, you can customize. And then I don't know. That's what I would try.
Okay. How about, I know you said you did a couple all day sits in it.
Yep.
Any tricks for that? Do you use one of a back strap, a higher up one I've seen?
You know, I didn't this year, but
I
don't think it's unnecessary. I didn't this year. And as I get older, I'm like, man, I should have probably brought one with me.
Oh, yeah.
Just because how I run my saddle low now, it might not be a bad idea to have a back strap. And we do offer a back strap that hooks right into the carabiner, and then you can let it ride up as high as you want.
Okay.
And it just kind of gives you, you know, a real relief off the pressure off of, you know, the saddle for a little bit if you need to move a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do recommend, if you're doing all day sit, if you need to get down for a hot second, just take a break. It's
yeah.
not a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know?
There's nothing wrong with that. I've done
yeah.
it in a regular tree stand just to move just a tiny bit.
Right.
It can be a huge thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Trying to think what else. Let's go into shooting a bow right from there. For a new guy, any tips to get into practicing with a bow or making that shot in definitely a unorthodox position compared to what most people are used to?
Yeah, biggest thing that I've learned is have a knee against the tree.
Okay.
When you shoot. So I was, like, back in the day when I was doing it, I was shooting deer out of it, and I was always either missing them high or hitting them high. And
okay.
I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I feel like that was a little bit of me not practicing, but also over time I was starting to you know, confide in some guys that have been doing it a lot longer than me, and they're like, you got to have another point of contact on the tree. Put a knee against the tree.
Okay.
Holy cow. That made a huge difference.
That
so,
makes sense.
You know, whether you're going a strong drop shot, you know, if a deer's coming this way, if you're going a weak side and you got to come over your bridge, you know, always try to get a knee on the tree or get more points of contact is pivotal, in
okay.
my opinion. And it'll tighten your groups up, and it'll make you a way better shot, and just kind of give you more of that confidence and stability that you really need.
Yeah, because sometimes, just again, in my little bit of experience so far, at times you draw, just, you know, you get up in a tree checking things out, and it is, there's a little bit of swing
there. Is.
There.
Yep. Yep.
So you really gotta either lean into it, or somehow, like you said, anchor it,
yeah.
especially depending on the platform
yeah.
that you have.
And what I do every year, you know, when the weather starts getting better, what I'll do is I have a telephone pole in my house that we have a lean-to off our pole barn. And what I'll do is I won't even use a platform. I'll just get in the saddle on that telephone pole and just
okay.
right off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll start shooting sessions like that just to get kind of more of, like, you know, your hips and your saddle shape a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then I do it every year. And then I'll go into a platform that might be 2 foot off the ground.
Okay.
And then I'll do it that way. And then I have a tree that I can get up 15, 20, 25 feet. Okay. And that's when I'll do my fine tuning at, you know, going into the fall and everything. So that's kind of my, I guess you'd call it, three-step approach going into the fall.
Okay.
And that seems to have been working for me. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, and it's really helped me out.
Okay. So. There definitely is, like, for anybody new, it is different.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. So it takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
I definitely learned that.
Like, I recommend not getting a saddle and just going hunting right away.
Yeah.
At least get in it and start shooting out of it a little bit, even if it's on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can just sit on the ground, and then you can mess around all you want. You don't have to worry about falling
or hurting yourself.
Or anything.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Any other kind of tips or?
No. I don't know. I'm pretty biased to our products. I really love our products. We offer the Method 2, and then our Carbon Series, Speed Series climbing sticks.
Okay.
We got two new bow hangers this year, the J hook and the Bite. One goes onto your bow. The other one goes, on your gear strap. We have a slep-on product. Our gear strap, I think, is one of the best gear straps out there. And the reason being is it comes with movable loops on it that you can move around, and you can remove them if you don't want them. But also the tag end, it has a hook on it, so you can lower your backpack down. It's one-hand movement. You put that loop on the tag end, basically the stuff that you're not using.
Okay.
And it's got a slider on it with some, with a little bit of tag end off it. You hook your pack on it in one hand, you move it up and it stops in place.
Oh, okay.
Get your stuff out of your bag, and then one hand you can move it down back into place. And it's a gear strap, but it's pretty slept on, I think.
Yeah, so you're not wrestling with it up in the tree, like
100%.
One-handed and dropping stuff.
Yeah. Yep. We offer a couple different platforms too. The Rebel platform, which is more of, it's got a lot more soft foot surface, on it. And then we have an X-Wing, which is more of, it looks like a fighter jet kind of thing, but it's got a wing system. And the way the wings are curved in it, the more it allows you to get around the tree more and put more side pressure on it. And how the wings are angled, it actually forces it to bite more into the tree as you get farther around the tree. So the design's really good there, and you can work around the tree a little bit better and get those shots behind the tree.
Okay, so. Yeah. Again, it just goes to the wide array of customizability and choices that are out there for anybody that wants to try it.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered quite a bit just in this, half hour almost?
Yeah,
I can't think of anything else at the moment other than, like you said, if anyone is interested, I know it took me a while to get over the hump of, I'm going to try it. At first, I was really skeptical, they can't be comfortable.
Yeah.
Shooting and all this stuff, especially with cold weather. I live in Hunt, northern Wisconsin. It's no way. But now it really is, but it took me a while. I was fortunate to come to the ATA show and try a few.
Yeah.
And as more people get into it, there's more on YouTube, or maybe you can go try it at your local retailer. Give it a try. And it there's definitely some advantages there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So I guess with that, we're going to wrap this up. But Aaron, hey, thanks.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for coming out.
Appreciate
it. Where can people go if they want to check out more from you and Latitude?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on. So our website, latitudeoutdoors.com.
Okay.
We do a whitetail series on YouTube called Grit. We did season one. We just got done filming season two. We also have a couple of podcasts ourselves. We have a Latitude in Session podcast, and then the Fall podcast. It's all whitetail centered podcast. And we drop those every week. And there's just a lot of content coming out of it's constant content
out
of our airwaves and even on YouTube and just trying to hit all the masses. Social medias, we have the Latitude Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
I think we even have a TikTok, to be honest with you. So
it's
all there. So anywhere you can find me or the guys that I work with, and I recommend going to YouTube and checking out Latitude Outdoors YouTube channel as well. So
all right. Sounds
thank you
good.
Very much.
Yeah, thanks again for having
appreciate
for coming
it.
On, yeah. And with that, we'll see you on the next episode of Deer Talk Now.
This episode is also brought to you by Full Range Mounting Systems. These mounting systems are a great way to manage all of your mounts in a stylish and organized manner. We are using their pedestal mount here on the podcast set for two shoulder mounts, and it looks just awesome. Be sure to check out their mounting systems at fullrangesystems.com, and for 15% off your order, use code DTN.